All right, hi, I'm Beth Massey, and I'm here with Paul Yuknovich, a lead program manager in Visual Studio. How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing great.
So,
and I'm smiling just because you got my name right.
I can't spell it, but I can say it.
That's good. Good job.
So, Paul, I sat you down here because I wanted to talk about Visual Basic 6, actually. And you apparently are the guy in charge of Visual Basic 6.
Yeah.
And I was interested in what the Microsoft strategy is for our Visual Basic 6 customers. So you can enlighten us on what that is?
Sure. Yeah, I'll absolutely tell you. So Visual Basic 6, hugely important product and audience to us. You know, if we could continue the magic of VB6 forever, I think we'd all be really happy about that. The major problem that we have is that there's a lot of code, a lot of Visual Basic 6 code out there today. And, you know, if I look at the strategy from when we first released .NET, I think we talked to a lot of developers about, hey, you know, we've got these migration wizards. You should just put your application through the crank. It'll come out the other side, and it'll be wonderful. You'll be in .NET, and you'll be all modernized and ready to go. Okay, turns out there was a few problems with that strategy, and a lot of applications were left behind. A lot of developers were left behind. So,
was it because they were too complex or too big?
There's a lot of reasons. The top reasons I heard were that there was no need to move all of those applications.
Right.
There's no business need. The applications just work. They were mission critical, maybe. People didn't want to touch them. It's too risky. Right. So there's all of those reasons. And I think a lot of that actually is a restatement of, you know, people aren't sure what the benefits of .NET were at the time or what they are. And so there's that problem. The other one is it's too hard, and there's too much code. There's too many dependencies. It's just way more work than people can justify. So based on that problem, we actually changed up our strategy. And now our strategy is to really migrate gradually and incrementally. Right? So those are we want it to be really easy to move at your own pace so that you can take parts of your application, maybe components or maybe smaller applications, move those piece by piece and leave the rest of the code just running as is in VB6. It's good code, right? And so there's more code reuse, and the more code reuse and the more skills reuse that you have, the more business sense that actually makes. And that actually makes migration more achievable for a number of developers out there. So that's really our strategy. Now, there's a couple of things that we did to make that strategy possible. So the first thing is we looked at support. Right? In order to say that applications and components can stay behind on VB6, we need to have a really strong statement of support so that developers and companies know that Microsoft stands behind those assets working and that we're not going to abandon, you know, people's hard work.
And so are you talking about the runtime?
Yeah, that's a great question. So VB6, it's a little bit subtle, but I'm going to break it into two pieces. There's the VB runtime, so basically the application runtime and all the controls that are associated with your running application, your running component. There's that piece. Then there's also the IDE, or the tool. And we actually had to look at them a little bit differently. So the runtime, we thought, was the most important thing to keep running and to have a high degree of support so that, you know, bottom line, if Microsoft rolls out an update, OS update, a service pack, something like that, that breaks your applications, we'd be on the hook to fix the problem. And that's the kind of support level that we wanted to have. So what we did is we actually took the VB runtime and, you know, a few years ago when we came out with Vista, you might have seen, we put the runtime in Vista. That was actually pretty surprising to a lot of people. And with Windows, we went ahead and we put in Windows 7.
Awesome. Right?
So that means it's, you know, VB runtime is a component in Windows, and it's supported and governed by the support lifetime of Windows, which is effectively, let's say, you know, 5 years of mainstream support, typically another 5 years of extended support, and then you have the option to open your checkbook and pay for custom support if that's something you want. So
so effectively 10 years from Win 7 release, the runtime will be supported.
Yeah, 10 years.
Wow.
So, yeah, 2009, 2019.
Nice.
Yeah, you'll still be talking to me about how that support is going.
What about the IDE, though?
Good question. So in April of 2008, it's like tattooed in my brain, that date, the IDE and the tool went out of support,
okay.
Right? And so what that means is we went to a custom support time frame. So typical things that you expect from support where you can pick up the phone and you can talk to our CSS support, or maybe where you have a services engagement with us, or where there's, you know, a regular stream of hot fixes that might come out, the tool no longer gets that. We're out of support. You can pay as needed for custom support, which would give you access to some of that phone support, which would give you access to asking for like a critical vulnerability to be fixed. Mm-hmm. You could ask for that, but it's actually out of support. So, you know, really, we have no plans to invest in the IDE. Now, with that said, we do run the IDE on all these new operating systems. You know, so the team, you know, just several weeks ago, just ran VB6 and Win 7, right? And for the most part, it does run.
You know, probably really fast.
It's don't get me started. It is really fast. VB6 is still the product to beat with performance. But anyway, yeah. So that.
So it runs. Side-side. It's just not officially supported.
It
the
runs.
IDE.
It okay. runs. We even test it, but it's still not supported.
Okay.
Because for us to say it's supported, we've got that really high bar of, mm-hmm. you know, being on the hook. And you know, honestly, that code base, it's not even from 1997 when we shipped. It's older than that. Right?
Wow.
So trying to get that code base to keep running and running. Well, I'm talking to people who have to do the same thing. So
right.
you can understand. It's just, you know, at some point, we have to draw the line.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we drew the line for the IDE. That was actually the right thing to do. So let's talk about the impact of that, right? So
right.
your apps, your components, those need to keep running. So if Microsoft makes a change and we cause a regression to your app, yeah, that's the support that you should talk to us about. The IDE, if something happened, well, you know, we're probably going to be talking to you more about workarounds, or we might point out how you could use a virtual version of Windows XP, and you could maybe load the IDE on that XP machine, or maybe you've got that legacy machine that sits in the corner of your back office, and that's the one you use to make these bug fixes. So that we're going to be going down that road, and I think all of us who've supported, you know, existing code, older code, we know what that's about. So.
But the most important thing is the runtime, because our customers can be safe to run.
That's right. Most
their
important
apps.
Thing is the runtime.
Okay.
And so yeah, so when putting in Win 7, I think is a pretty major thing that we did, and we actually, you know, we've had about 40 or so really common ActiveX controls like MS Comcuddle and Comcuddle 2, those wrappers over the Windows UI controls. We actually. We call that the extended VB runtime,
okay.
and we gave that set of controls, which you can download today, the same support as the runtime. So
wow.
actually, so really your running app, if it's built with stuff from Microsoft, it's supported. Third parties, well, you got to deal with the third party control vendors. They may support an approach or they may not. So that's, you know, I
Something
realize
you have to work out with them.
That's a challenge to get through.
Cool. So what kind of resources are we giving VB6 developers who are thinking about, well, you know, support's ended on the IDE, it's time to phase migrate my application.
Yeah.
So where do I start?
Great question. So I could actually, you mind if I draw it on the whiteboard?
Let's do it.
All right. So speaking of resources, you know, the first thing is we have a website, msdn.com/VBRun, VBRUN. You know, actually, if you have a way to put it in editing, make it
yeah, I will.
Right now, my hands. All right. So that's where everything I'm going to talk about is on that site.
Okay.
So I'm going to erase it now. All right. So, you know, just like any development lifecycle, when you're thinking about migration and a phased migration, we also have a lifecycle. And so you could kind of think of it as one of these loops. That PowerPoint would do a far better job doing than I would. Yeah. So the first thing that we think about is a preparation stage, and you know, there's a lot of things that we'd normally recommend going through. Biggest one is, what are you really trying to accomplish by doing a migration? Are you trying to modernize parts of your application? Are there parts of your code that are low quality and you're trying to, you know, increase the quality? Are there new capabilities or scenarios that you want to enable? Like, I want to work with services, I want to work with networking, I want to use the new security features, I want that new Windows experience, I want to work with Office, right? You got to depending on what that is, you know, we definitely recommend that you have those goals in mind and you have a set of priorities for your migration, and you really think through at the end of this whole process, am I going to do the work to move my code from, you know, VB6 and COM to .NET, not just reach functional equivalence and parity, but also have some of those wins. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's what happens in the preparation process. In terms of tools, there's a specific process we recommend, which is called an assessment. So if you go to that MSDN VB Run site, we have an assessment tool and guidance that goes with it that was created by our patterns and practices team, the mm-hmm. PAG team. Mm-hmm. And you can basically run a tool over your projects or your group of projects. It'll give you all kinds of information, like how many lines of code do you have? How many projects do you have? What are all those dependencies that you have? What are those ActiveX controls you're using, both Microsoft and third party? And basically, it's like you're getting a bill of work, like how much work is in front of you. And you can map that and make kind of a project plan, say, okay, by doing this chunk of work, you know, am I going to get those wins that I need? And am I really prepared to do that? So I definitely recommend getting that tool and actually reading through the guidance. You know, the book is a serious evening read.
It's free, though.
It's online. You get it for free. You can read through that in actually in a lot of detail. It has most migration scenarios that I can think of, and it tells you how to prepare for those. Okay? So you've done some preparation. You've done some assessment. Into the spirit of gradual migration, you know, what we recommend is take some chunks of your application. Don't try to take the whole thing, but you know, if you have a small project or maybe a module that's mostly about code, you could think about starting there and upgrading that piece. Or actually, maybe you want to think about upgrading a few of your screens in your application and screen by screen move those to .NET. And that's, you know, we recommend you start small and you actually try that process. Just as you're about to get to that point, there's a tool that I just remembered which helps with preparation. So we talked about the assessment tool. Another one you should look at is the Code Advisor. And for code that you're actually going to migrate using tools, the Code Advisor will run on that VB6 code, and it'll point out a lot of issues with your code that make the code really hard to upgrade. So for example, if you're using late binding, or you're maybe using variants, or you're not very specific about which object you're using, you might define something as a form or as an object, we're going to point out those cases and suggest ways to fix it so that when you move that code to .NET, you're not going to have errors and runtime exceptions. So it'll point a lot of those things out. It'll also talk about functions that just don't migrate well. So like a canonical example is the left function, where VB6 will return, you know, the left part of the string. It could also return null, but VB6 runtime has a very nice way of handling null, and that is presented back to you as an empty string. Mm-hmm. While in .NET, if you don't have a handler for that exception, you're going to have a crash in your application. So That's just not very friendly. So we actually have the left dollar function, which will work just great in .NET. So we'll point out all those kinds of things. It lets you just prepare your code. That's basically all it's going to do, right? Then the next part I would think about is doing an actual migration. So it'd be taking a chunk of that code and moving it forward. There's actually a number of techniques you could do here. The number one way that I think we get overlooked, and actually the word hasn't gotten out about, is using interop. Okay, so this is, if you remember one thing from this whole chat, remember interop. We have a tool called the Interop Forms Toolkit. So I'm gonna write that down. What this does, it gives you a set of utilities and templates that make it really easy to create a new screen. So let's say a form or a user control in .NET. You can create that in .NET. You can use all the new modern capabilities that you want to, build it, and drop it right back into your VB6 app, right? So it's like you could modernize your application screen by screen. And it's really low risk, and you don't have to abandon your whole code base to try to try to evolve it slowly. So I definitely check that out. We have a Interop Forms toolkit is for UI. For non-UI, we actually have built-in features. So what you want to look at is something called the COM class. If you open visualstudio.net today, we have this template. And essentially, you can take any class in your subroutines, your methods, put them in this COM class template. We'll decorate it with a COM class attribute, and then we'll make it really easy to build .NET libraries that you can expose back to COM. It's a way of like taking advantage of your business logic and the new capabilities of .NET, making it available to VB6 and COM. So these are two really, really powerful tricks to move gradually and incrementally.
And that's a Visual Basic new item template?
That's a... So COM class is a Visual Basic item template.
Built in.
You can do it in C# too if you're interested. You just want to look for the COM visible.
Okay.
We have great samples online on how to do that.
So that just sets up the attributes for you automatically?
Right. It sets up the attributes. It also it tells the project system to build and register your type for COM.
Gotcha.
So that it's visible. Just another thing to remember for those of you using Vista and Windows 7, remember always when you're doing VB6 interop development, always run VB6 and Visual Studio as administrator elevated.
Right.
So you do the right click, run as admin. You have to do that because both of these scenarios are dealing a lot with the registry, and there's issues to pay if you don't do that.
It'll warn you in the build. It can register it if you didn't.
So I'd say these are your absolute top two tricks. We have a bunch of samples. I actually know someone really well who created a great video series on how to use it, so I think you should check that out.
Yes.
What else can I tell you? So we have a built-in migration wizard, right? So if you have smaller projects, you know, and you have the luxury of project by project, just do one at a time, you can use our migration wizard. I think we call it actually an upgrade wizard. And actually all you have to do to use it is just open up a VB6 project inside of visualstudio.net, and that'll trigger the upgrade wizard.
Cool.
Right? And we'll actually, like if you have, let's say you have three projects in your solution, and you go to upgrade one of them, we'll use the best practice of interop. So we'll migrate that one project to .NET, and we'll reference your other two projects through a COM reference.
Cool.
So we even kind of embrace that a bit. You know, the wizard has limitations. I'm not going to oversell it. You're going to have work to do after you run the upgrade wizard. And, you know, there's going to be errors and warnings you need to fix. There are also third-party products that probably go even a little bit further than ours do because they really specialize on that scenario. So you can check that out as well.
Cool. Great.
Yeah. And this process right here, so we're in, you know, this is basically the, let's just call it the gradual migration. It includes all these steps and tools. And the next step is, you know, you make a change, test it. Mm-hmm. If you're happy with that, make the next change and test it. So you're really in this iterative cycle for a while, right? And
gotcha.
Then finally, hopefully you can get to the point where if by consolidating your code in .NET that wasn't already the victory you want, now you can add the value that you wanted to, right? So you can modernize. And that's really the last step. If I can spell it. Here we go. Right, so you can add the new features that you wanted to, the new capabilities, the things that have been on your feature list forever that you haven't been able to justify. That's now's the time when you can really do these things. Also, you could look at, you know, should you take advantage of ClickOnce deployment, RegFree COM, and some of the really nice things that take away headaches from VB6, so
right.
You can get to this point. So it's basically, you know, a good amount of planning, and then very gradual and iterative migration, and then you can get to the modernization.
Makes sense.
And we have a bunch of great tools to help you along the way.
So, Paul, what else would you like to say to our VB6 developers out there?
We miss you guys. You know, we're looking for you. We created this VB Run Center, and it's not really just about migration. It's the best resource center for anything to do with VB6, so all of our best articles are out there. And Yeah, we created that as a step, and there's, you know, we definitely, we want to keep talking to you guys. We really care about your assets continuing to run, that you can move, you know, really gradually. So that's the message. We love you guys. We miss you guys. There's some cool stuff going on .NET, but take your time.
Are there any places where we can get feedback from them, like that you would like to point them to?
To get feedback
about the toolkit or just in general?
That's a great question. So if you have question and answer kinds of things, we have forums just dedicated to migration and interop.
Okay.
So that's on the forum section of MSDN.
Right.
That'd be a place to look. There's a number of great third-party, I think, VB6 forums where good discussions are going on. I spend some time there, honestly, but the team and I aren't always there, so you might not find us. I think another good place to reach us is, you know, places like, you know, the comments on this Channel 9 video, mm-hmm. or on our Visual Basic blog.
Cool.
I think is a great place if you really need to talk to us or you have a comment or a suggestion or, you know, don't hesitate to send us a comment that way.
Great. Well, I'll list all the resources out at the end of this video for sure.
I appreciate that. And maybe I can do this again in the website blink.
There you go. Well, thanks, Paul, for taking the time out to explain the strategy and the support. Yeah. I think that's a really important thing to get out there. I don't think people realize that. They still do care about this and customers. And so.
Oh, absolutely. You know, let's talk about the business. The VB6 business is a critical business to us, right? So there's millions of Visual Basic developers out there. A lot of Visual Basic developers are using .NET today, but a lot of them still haven't been able to make the move yet, right? And it's been too challenging for the reasons we mentioned. You know, any percentage of several million is very significant. So as a stockholder and kind of working on the business side of things, you know, Visual Basic 6 is vitally important to Microsoft. So, you know, we really care about it, both, you know, because we're connected to developers out there, but also from the business. So
cool. Are there any reasons that you'd like to plug that just helped get started with .NET development if you're making the transition?
Yeah, that's great. So on that VB Run Center, my favorite resource is the Essential Training videos. And so look for Essential Training. And it's Essential Training on .NET, but it was written in a style of kind of like talking about the things that we know and love in VB6 and, you know, how did we do it in VB6 and how do we do it today? Mm-hmm. So I think that's just an absolute...
That's a great perspective.
Great resource. We all love samples. There's a bunch of great samples on there. And I would check out Beth Massey's How Do I video series.
I've got a couple, yeah.
She's got just a few that might help you out. So, you know, basically look at the Getting Started and the Learn tabs on MSDN. That's where all of our best stuff is.
Great. All right, Paul. Thanks very much for taking the time.
All right. Thank you, Beth. Bye.